Thank you all. We're turning in our Bibles to Revelation, and tonight we're moving to chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. A couple of weeks ago, we covered chapter 15, and we were looking at the safety of the saints, their song. They sing the song of the Lamb and of Moses, and in that chapter, the focus was upon the safety of the saints, even against God's wrath, and how they are protected. Then we have the seven golden vials. If you look at chapter 15, verse 7, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God. And chapter 16 gives us those seven vials, and we're going to read them beginning at verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven, because their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gather them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial upon the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Amen. We'll end our reading just there. May the Lord bless his word to each and every heart. Thank you.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I trust you're encouraged today, and I hope that you are in God's Word. This book of Revelation is an amazing book. It is a word for God's people of every age, as is all of the Bible. We do not categorize sections of the Bible, nor this book of Revelation, to one particular period of time or to some special section of the world's population, but rather the all of the Word of God is for each and every one of God's people. And I trust that you will take an interest in what God is revealing here in Revelation chapter 16. I found these things absolutely fascinating. And to take time and just to compare Scripture with Scripture and to learn how the Lord adds and weaves all these things in together in this book. But it is a warning that we need a Savior. We need to be born of the Spirit, and we need to be saved by trusting in the blood of Jesus. Now, we're going to learn today that the very thing by which God judges the wicked is the thing by which he saves his people, and vice versa. And the Lord always puts a difference between the ungodly and the believer in the Lord Jesus. And I trust that today that the blood mark is upon you, that you are covered in the blood of Jesus, and there on that great day you will be saved. So stay tuned with us as we come back to Revelation 16 to let the Bible speak.
So God is responsible because he's omniscient. He's also responsible because he is omnipotent. He has the power to execute judgment. Now, when we see wrongdoing in this world, we are often powerless to do anything about it. And one big example right now might be abortions. We read and hear about abortions that are committed in our country and sometimes in our own community and even our own local hospital, and it is being paid by our tax dollars. It is a great heinous evil in our society. But what can we do about it? We can't even protest now at an abortion clinic in the vicinity of it. We are limited. We can talk to our politicians and lobby and do all those kind of things, but we do not have the power to stop it. But God has. And one day, all who perpetrate evil of whatever nature, they're going to stand before God and give account. And God is going to judge them according to their deeds. And he will execute judgment in an absolute fashion, being omniscient and omnipotent. In the Psalm 75, it says, God is the judge. He putteth down one, setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. And all the nations will stand before God and give account. And we have learned here tonight that God's wrath is real, and it will happen. These seven vials equal the perfect righteous judgment of God. How are you going to escape that judgment? That now becomes the gospel question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And of course, we preach this gospel to the lost world that they need to turn to God and come to Christ. God's wrath is real. The second thing we learn here in Revelation 16, that God's wrath is righteous. God's wrath will fall upon the wicked, but not the godly, not the saints. We have learned in chapter 15 that the saints are safe. The wrath of God will not fall upon the godly. And just as God made a difference in Egypt, on the night when the angel of death visited, and the homes with the blood upon the doorpost were spared, and all the homes without the blood were judged. Or, as God put a difference between light and darkness, where Israel had light and Egypt had darkness. Or by the same means of judgment going through that open way through the Red Sea, which became deliverance for Israel, but judgment for Egypt, God is going to deliver the redeemed. They will never taste God's wrath, but the idolaters certainly will. Now look at chapter 16, verse 2. And it says, the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men that had the mark of the beast. Do you see how God's wrath is targeted? It is specific to those who worship the beast. They are the idolaters. They are the false worshipers, and they are judged. And that first vial of wrath is poured out against every idolater. It's a great thing to be a Christian. It's a great thing to be in Christ and to be worshiping the true and the living God. The wrath of God will not fall upon you. Now also notice that God's wrath will uphold God's righteous character. When we get down to verse 5 and verse 7, you'll see that twice over that it is announced, and I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord. Thou art righteous, O Lord. This judgment is not contrary to a good God. It's not contrary to a God who is gracious to his people, but it is righteous. O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Now, judged thus means judged in this manner, because you have differentiated between the idolater who has the mark of the beast and the true worshiper. That declares God to be righteous. God is executing true, godly, perfect righteousness. And then again in verse 7, and I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Now, who are these or this one under the altar? If you think back to Revelation 6, that was the cry of the martyrs. The martyrs who had shed their blood for Christ. And now they are crying out, How long, O Lord? And here, when the bowl of wrath is poured out, they shout, True and righteous are thy judgments. And so God's righteousness is glorified. The saints praise and worship God for his perfect judgments that are poured out at that time. Now God's wrath also falls upon the unrepentant. And this is very well stated in chapter 16, verse 9. The thing to notice is that these blasphemers, the wicked, upon whom the wrath falls, that they remain unrepentant. It says in verse 9, now this is the fourth vial that's poured out upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. This is remarkable. Such is the deep depravity of the human heart that even when the game is all over and they are suffering torments of God's wrath falling upon them, instead of bowing the knee to worship, they lift up their tongues in blasphemy and spew out of their heart that innate hatred of their souls, because they truly do hate God. Now, it is not just silence. You go on down to verse 11, and you'll see how this blasphemy is poured out. And blasphemed the God of heaven, because their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. It is wrath that is righteous, because these are wicked, unrepentant, and blaspheming wicked people. It is due to the persecution of the saints. We have seen that, verse 6, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. Now, I notice that blood to drink is a, wouldn't call it a euphemism, it is an idiom, it is a manner of speaking that speaks of wrath, just as it happened to Egypt when their waters were turned to blood. That was God's anger demonstrated against them. Now, it is because of this wickedness and this unrepentance that God pours out his wrath. And it is upon this basis that all men are judged, and judged for actual sins, not just lumped in with the crowd, but their own individual blasphemies and wicked deeds. If you go to Revelation 22:11, you'll see that it is particular deeds. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And so everyone will give account on that day of their own deeds. What will be your defense? Your tongue, will it condemn you? Will your tongue be a tongue of blasphemy? Are your hands defiled? Will your heart be exposed as full of hatred? That will be the horror of the judgment day. And all of these things that are revealed here demonstrate the righteous character of God. And he will be praised for his judgments. And even that friend that is a Christ rejecter, whom we may witness to and pray for, if he or she dies in their sins, on the eternal day we will praise God for his perfect judgments. We'll be on God's side. Have you ever heard someone say, I want to go to hell to be with my friends? That surely is the maddest thing, most illogical thing. Because if you are in hell, you will not have friends, because you will be in the place of torment. Another thing I will point out from this chapter is that God's wrath is sudden. It's very sudden. And while it is true that trumpets warn, bowls do get poured out, and there's no warning when they come. The Bible tells us God's Spirit shall not always strive with man, and he gives men up to their evil deeds. There is a line somewhere, and I cannot tell you where it is, where hardened, wicked men and women cross over into judgment, and they are damned already. Now, if you look at Revelation 16, verse 15, you will see the warning that the Lord says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. And so that's the posture of the Christian. We are watching. We are in a state of readiness. We have prepared for eternity. We have sought the blood and the cleansing and the washing and the grace of God for our salvation. But the ungodly are unprepared, unaware of their own lost condition. Many are reprobates. They are given up and given over to those ways. The Lord will come as a thief. Indeed, to the church at Revelation at Ephesus. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou therefore shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And that's the Lord's word to every sinner, to every soul in the world today. Each time God judges, he judges suddenly. Think of Pharaoh. Think of Herod, who was eaten by worms even as he was praised by men. Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, disease and death, car accidents, aircraft accidents. Men are suddenly brought into the judgment of God. They're taken away as a thief in the night. And there are many souls who go into eternity without a word of notice. God's judgments are sudden. We learn that right here, and men are lost. But of course, we can preach the gospel in the midst of all this, because God's wrath is turned to mercy through the gospel. If you look at verse 19, you will see that Babylon, that wicked city. Now, Babylon is the opposite to Jerusalem. Babylon, throughout the Bible, is the symbol of rebellion, anti-God, anti-Christ. And we're told here that she came to remembrance before God. Now, that means that for centuries, Babylon seemed to get away with blasphemy and idolatry. But now, Babylon is called to give answer. And it says here, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now that symbol of the cup of wrath, that is carried through the Bible. The night that the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's table, he talked about, this cup is the New Testament in my body. And he also went on to talk about to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? That's the cup of wrath. And at the cross, the Lord Jesus took the wrath of God. It was real to Christ. God the Father punished his own Son. And the Lord Jesus drank that cup of wrath for us, his people, to be our Redeemer and our Savior. And the Lord Jesus now calls wicked sinners to repentance, to believe on him, that they might be free from the cup of wrath that he has drunk on their behalf. And so from Calvary comes to us the call to repent. Turn from your sin, turn or burn. Flee for mercy to the cross of Christ. And this is the glory of the gospel message. This is the good news that we can preach to the worst of sinners in the world. There is a way back to God. But be warned, in hell there is no repentance. Indeed, hardened sinners remain hardened. They continue to blaspheme. They will not give God the praise, and therefore they continue on and on in eternal damnation, in the torments of hell, enduring God's wrath, because there's no repentance. But tonight there is repentance. While we have opportunity, there is repentance available. And you must repent unto life. Now, I must close with a little explanation of what evangelical gospel repentance entails. True repentance requires a hatred of sin. It is to hate the sin that made the Savior mourn. And it's to love the crosswork as the way back to God. There's two components to repentance. It involves a personal hatred of sin and a love of the crosswork of Calvary. Some poet wrote it this way, "'Tis not enough to say I'm sorry and repent and then go on from day to day, just as I always went. Repentance is to leave the sins we loved before and show that we in earnest grieve by doing them no more. It is a true turning away from all sin. If you have done that tonight and you have gone to Christ as your Savior, then you are one of His redeemed. You are not a worshiper of the beast. You do not have the mark of the beast upon you, and God's wrath will never fall upon you. And your repentance God accepts as you have turned in faith to the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So make sure that you are not amongst those upon whom the wrath of God will fall. And we're told there in verse 21, let's just read the very close of the chapter. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. There's finality. There's the end of the matter. I pray tonight that you are in Christ and rejoicing in His salvation. And as we are troubled by a wicked world around us, we must remember God is righteous, and every man's sin will come before God, and they will be judged according to their deeds and their words. And our work as a church, as ambassadors for Christ, is to plead with sinners to leave their sins and flee to the Savior. May we do that this week. May the Lord make us living witnesses to those that are in dire danger of damnation through their sins. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.